Today is Wednesday, March 6th. The title for our devotional is Humble Yourself. Yesterday, we looked at Peter's instructions to the church leaders and to the congregants. Today, we see his instructions to everybody in the church. So let's read 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For, quote, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, end quote. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. So in verses 5 through 8, Peter gives four primary general instructions to the church to be humble, be sober-minded, be watchful, and then to resist the devil. We'll talk about this one tomorrow. We didn't read it today. So he repeats the call to be humble twice. They are to, quote, clothe themselves with humility towards one another. Both the leaders of the church and the congregants are to be humble towards one another. Remember from last week, humility was not a virtue of the Greco-Roman world. Instead, it was frowned upon as a sign of weakness. But we are to all be humble, like Jesus. Jesus humbled himself in the incarnation and even further on the cross. In the same way, we are to die to self. Humility, as has famously been said, is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. The secular solution to low self-esteem is high self-esteem, that is, pride. This will not do, and we know it to be true. Instead, the biblical definition of humility is self-forgetfulness. There's a real freedom in self-forgetfulness. In fact, it is paradoxically a part of living a life of joy, as Tim Keller reveals in his great little book that I've linked you to below. Humility frees you to live in service to God and others. Humility frees you from constantly being offended. It frees you from the endless concern of self-image and self-promotion. It frees you from the endless pursuit and subsequent disappointment of success. It is an essential aspect of living the abundant life in Christ. Now, the people Peter is writing to, remember, they had lots of reasons to be anxious. They had lost their home, maybe their families. They faced suffering and persecution. They lost their inheritance and financial stability. They lived in a foreign country under the authority of an oppressive government. Instead of constantly fighting to gain these back, Peter tells them they are to entrust themselves to their faithful Creator and do good. And here he tells them to be humble, to humble themselves. Humility, it then frees us from the constant toil of appeasing our anxieties. It's not enough to say, stop thinking about yourself, however. We have to think about something, right? So the simple answer is to think about God more. We think about loving God more and loving others more. They are told to cast their anxieties upon God. God will not ignore them or remain indifferent. Instead, he cares for his people. That's a truth that is too glorious to fathom. God cares for you. Run to him with your anxieties. Cast them upon him, especially the anxieties related to the things that you cannot control, which is the majority of them. Peter then reminds us by quoting Psalm 3:34 that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. This is a stark warning to the proud. Puffing up one's chest towards God is a ludicrous idea, yet in our pride, we humans do this all the time. He also reminds us that we are to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt us. The mighty hand of God refers to the displays of God's power, like parting the Red Sea, the 10 plagues, raising Jesus from the dead. Again, puffing up one's chest or holding up your chin to God who did things like this is just ludicrous, right? How silly is it for us to boast when the God of the universe exists? Humility, it makes no sense without a trust in the eternal, all-powerful God. But if this God does exist, then it is the only logical conclusion. In humbling ourselves, Peter references here, we are then free from the constant pressure of self-exaltation. He says God will exalt us at the proper time. Again, the hope is held out to suffering Christians. Keep following the way of Jesus, even in the midst of suffering, and wait for God to exalt you. We do not exalt ourselves. Instead, we wait for God to exalt us. Just as Jesus was exalted in the resurrection and ascension after his humiliation on the cross, so Christians will be exalted in the new life to come after suffering in this life. So briefly then, to wrap up this section, he calls them to be sober-minded and watchful. Sober-minded means just as it sounds, not drunk. Instead, we must have a clear mind, thinking rightly and clearly. This involves thinking clearly about following the ways of Jesus in the midst of suffering, humbling ourselves before God and towards one another, and clinging to the truth of the gospel. Being watchful involves being alert to the spiritual battle raging around us. So many of us in our Western American church culture are sleeping through a spiritual war, like Peter, James, and John were in the garden with Jesus. We are lulled to sleep by the cares of this world, our selfishness and lack of concern for the things of God. The devil wants nothing more than for us to remain sleeping. This we will launch into tomorrow. For today, I've linked you to the little book that I told you about. It's only like 45 pages. It's a quick read from Tim Keller called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And I've included a lengthier quote on the devotional page if you wanted to head over there as well. Reflection time today. Reflect on humility and the joy of self-forgetfulness. Set your attention on God. Today, throughout your day, when you find your thoughts to be too self-focused, cast your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you.